Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. So this episode, our guest is Eric Hallstrand, and we are talking about church alligators. So Eric, if you could just begin talking a little bit about the ministry work that you do, and then we'll dive right in.
You bet. I was ordained in 92, worked in various churches and parishes for many years till 2017. And then I started my own ministry or company called Moving Forward, working with churches and nonprofits in conflict and transition. And so I've been doing that for 6 years. I also started teaching at the University of Northwestern St. Paul, a small Christian school in the Twin Cities. And once in a while, my wife and I do interim ministry. So I first really experienced alligators when I became a lead pastor in 1996 of a six-church parish in North Dakota in two towns. So that's when I first encountered it, and I learned that idea from a mentor of mine at the time.
So what is a church alligator? I mean, this was a topic that was brought up by one of our pastors that participates in our ministry. So some people may have no idea what a church alligator is. So tell us, what's a church alligator?
Sure. Pretty simply, there are people who complain on the one hand, and that's going to be, that could be anybody. And sometimes the complaints are justified and very helpful. You know, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You got to have some sparks in order to have that happen. And we hopefully welcome that. And then there's people who are just chronically against whomever, the leadership, the lead pastor, the lead whatever in an organization. And they are people who basically cannot change. They are known for their against-ness in their organization, their church, and they just pretty much don't change. I remember so in my first lead pastor call in 96, we were there for almost 10 years, the largest church had a gal, we'll call her Sally, who was well known as an alligator that many pastors had been run off or their life had been made difficult because of Sally. Sally was in her 80s when we came, later 70s. And we heard about her pretty quickly. And she came through with that was interesting to deal with in our sixth church parish. And never stopped. She got older, and there's a whole story there. We can get into how to deal with an alligator. But basically, a person who you're not going to convince that things are going well or going in a good direction. They generally just don't like you, or they don't like the idea of not being the leader. They don't like the idea of not being a big fish in a little pond. It can be a variety of reasons, but they're just chronically against.
So what you're saying is we need to be zookeepers in addition to pastors.
Well, in a sense, you need to be. One of my favorite passages in terms of leadership is when Jesus said, sending out like sheep among wolves, I want you to be as innocent as doves and as cunning as snakes. In my work as a consultant, churches are awesome at being doves. They're amazing at being innocent. It's the cunning part that they don't do so well. And good alligators, smart alligators, and if you're going to be an alligator for very long, you're generally going to be fairly intelligent, and some of them downright cunning. They're just playing in a different field, a different game. And when we approach it thinking like a dove, just innocent instead of having those two intention, there we go, intention, then it's hard to come out ahead, or it's hard to not have conflict and difficulty.
You know, it's interesting. I, being around you a bunch, Eric, I always appreciate, you know, you bringing that passage up to churches. And I agree that most churches are stuck as doves. Although I've certainly, especially in intentional interim work, you run into churches or at least pastors that are only cunning. And that is certainly a challenge, certainly a challenge as well. So I think a lot of times the big question pastors have, especially, you know, you talk about being in a six charge church, right? A lot of times pastors in their first call, younger pastors, or second career pastors, they'll go to these smaller churches. And I think sometimes, you know, maybe the alligators are more noticeable or more powerful, or maybe these pastors are less prepared for them. And obviously, biblically speaking, we're probably not allowed to turn all of these alligators into boots, although it is tempting. So what do you do with a church alligator? You know, this question came to us from a young pastor that's in their first time lead pastorate and is getting ready to head to a different church, and I think wants to be equipped to be able to handle alligators better because the alligators shocked them and really did a number on them. So how does a church, how does a leadership, how does a pastor deal with a church alligator?
You bet. The key, I learned this actually from my mentor, that back when I started running into alligators back in the 90s, he said the key is to shrink their swamp, because if you make them a martyr, if you kill them, if you make them into alligator shoes, you only give them more power. You only give them more strength. So you have to deal with them in a way that shrinks their swamp, their influence, and that just takes time. And when you talk about a small church, one of the difficulties with a small rural church is they know you are there. You are there for a short amount of time. They are there for decades. They're there till they die. And they know if they tick off Mr. or Mrs. Alligator that they will continue to have problems long after you're gone. So it's very difficult to overcome an alligator in a small church. The smaller the church, the harder it is. But the one thing that is most helpful is momentum, is getting a string of positive things together. So a string of positive sermons, positive sermon series, youth events. If you can get youth to be more engaged, if you can get them to come back from an event and say, this was exciting, I loved it, I had a great time, if they can show that they are growing in their faith, that gives you much more momentum power to deal with the alligator in your congregation. But that just takes some time. And there's one other piece that's important, and that is to, and this is where the cunning part comes in, is you have to be mindful of building a coalition of people who will support you. So you have to kind of wait for them to come out and sort of reveal themselves as being on your side, and they to be an effective coalition, then they have to have some respect, some mojo in the community. And if you can start to get some people on your side, that is the best. So let me give you an example. So I had an alligator in my third call, a single church, and fellow was very, he just didn't like me from A to Z. And he disagreed with something I said in a sermon. And I won't get into it because this isn't a theological piece. He disagreed with it, and like sharply. And so he brought it up at a board meeting. He came to the board, he's on the board, and he brought it up. And we had 12 board members. So he did his deal, And I said, I always teach the three magic phrases for dealing with conflict. First one is always, what I hear you saying. And so I said, what I hear you saying. Let's call him, I usually say Fred at this point, but I actually have a Fred in the church that we're working with right now. So Donatello. There, we'll do a Ninja Turtle. So,
hey, shout
Donatello.
Out to the Ninja Turtles.
That's right. That's
Unpaid right. sponsorship.
That's right. So, Donatello, what I hear you saying is, and I summarized what I heard, and I said, do I have that right? And then he clarified. And then the second magic phrase is, what does everybody else think? And so 11 people chimed in. They all agreed with me because I'd been there a while. And it started with my inner circle coalition, and the momentum built, and everybody agreed with me, and the discussion was over. I actually did not have to defend myself one little bit. I didn't have to say a word after I said, what does everybody else think? So those two things, you have to shrink their swamp, and you do that by momentum, and you do it by building a coalition. You have to be very sly in your coalition. I mean, obviously not underhanded, but you have to be intelligent. You don't want to ask somebody to be kind of, you know, for example, you'd get somebody in your coalition and you'd say, this is going to come up tonight. Would you be willing to kind of whatever, take this point. Here's what happened. Here's the whole scoop. Here's the whole whatever. Would you be willing to be the first person to speak when that comes up? And very rarely have I had anybody say no to that.
Wow.
Again, when we had six churches, it took about 3.5 years to really kind of get the momentum going so that all, well, five out of the six, one never did want to be a part of it. And that's another start. But to really get the momentum going with VBS, with youth group, with combined choir, and we did Lent. We knocked it out of the park with Lent. It just took a little while to get that going so that we didn't have board meetings with somebody complaining about something. So that was about 3.5 years. And so I was doing that fairly often, those first 3-4 years. And I had to do it much less as the momentum built.
So Peter, as you hear this, obviously you've grown up in the church your whole life, you know, so you can probably think and see and experience this. This is a new phrase to you, and you're in seminary. What's your kind of reaction to some of what Eric just shared?
There's a lot of thoughts and a lot of questions. The thoughts I won't share because they're not appropriate for sharing on a podcast. But
not rated G. Okay.
Right. So I guess my first question is, I'll share two, and you can answer both as you see fit. But the first one is, like, what do you do? Like you said, it took 3 years to address that alligator and address that swamp in that one situation. So, like, how? It's like these are so many questions, but let me get them all out. So, when do you usually see the alligator first come out? What do you do to safeguard yourself from the alligator in those 3 years so you don't spiritually burn out, or you just, you know, pack your bags and leave? And then what, like as a young guy who wants to take a call, should you go into a church trying to look for alligators before you take a call, or is that being too cynical?
That's good. Let me do the last question first and see if I can remember the rest. So John 2:24 says, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. So what I say to people going into new calls is be optimistic, even to the point of being somewhat naive, but don't be 100% naive. Pretty much in every call, I should say in most calls, the majority, there's a honeymoon period. So you have, depending upon what's happened before, you know, like right now, my wife and I we're the interim pastoral team for a call. In many ways, we're still in the honeymoon period because we followed a pastor who was an awesome human being, full of integrity and caring and all that, and not a leader. And so, you know, when I did my assessment, I put together, you know, if I can do this. I put together a chart that showed, there we go, a chart that showed the attendance and the giving just going down and down. And it started close to when he started, although it was a little bit of the guy before. So we're still in a honeymoon because people are like, hey, leaders, and you're getting things done, and et cetera. So we're going to have a longer honeymoon period. If you follow somebody who's like, you know, a legend and been there for 20 years or 20 plus, you're going to have a much shorter honeymoon period, and they're going to compare you and all that stuff. So so what I say is sort of like what Reagan said years ago, trust but verify. Just sort of keep that Matthew 10:16 thing in mind, that, you know, there's a phrase we learned in seminary that is so spot on. It's one of the things that I actually took out of seminary. I got to get it right. Beware those who meet you at the train station. And that is spot on. It doesn't mean that they're all going to be that by any means, because, you know, we've been to a few different train stations, and our first call, the gal who met us at the train station, was amazing. She was a supporter throughout. She was amazing. The gal who met us at the train station in our second call, she was amazing for about 4 months. And then she turned on us like, I don't have a good analogy. You got one, Marcus? Turned on us like a...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, quicker than Judas, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I've been
there
talking about
go.
Judas lately, you know. Yeah, I mean, made Judas look like a Boy Scout. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's
go.
The phrase we want, yeah.
There you go. That works. That works. No, she totally turned on us when we did something she didn't like. So that's when you know the honeymoon's over, is when you make a decision and somebody that seemingly supported you kind of turns on you, or you start hearing about it, or some small thing happens, like on a youth trip, you know, like we took a Duluth ski trip, and we had an honor system with money in the fridge for getting pop, and somebody stole a $20 bill out of the fridge, you know, and you know, big deal. Kids do that, they steal, and we tried to deal with it, but obviously we're not going to frisk everybody. But you know, when somebody makes a deal out of something that's like not a deal, you know,
yeah.
Okay, honeymoon's maybe starting to wear off. Did I answer all those?
So the other question was, what do you do to protect yourself from crocodiles or alligators when you get to a church and maybe it's not getting addressed soon?
No, that's a great question. When I was first a lead pastor, I was 33 years old. 33 when I became a lead of the sixth church parish, and it's the most intensive leadership of.
So we had a little technical blip, so we're going to pick up with our last question, which was, how do you protect yourself from alligators?
You bet. So this, especially in the beginning, this is not easy. So for me, it helped. Well, I'll just say, when I was first starting out as a lead, again, from 96 to 06, but especially in the 90s, if someone would say something, it took a little bit. It wasn't just, you know, your shoelaces are untied. But if someone would, you know, question something that had a little zing to it, I'd be kind of in the dumps for a good 3 days. And as time grew, it got to be less and less time, so that somewhere in my third call, at least, which was 06 to 12, I was able to be usually pretty fine by supper. And now I'm always fine by supper, because I have very thick skin, and I care, but I don't care if someone doesn't like me. And I try to listen. You know, the key is to separate comments that come in if there's any truth to them, you know, using the Balaam's donkey as kind of the a foundation, you know, even an ass can say something that has intelligence and that has truth for you. So we don't want to just kind of push off everything that somebody who isn't for us would say. We have to weigh things out with wisdom. But it takes time. I had to spend time in scriptures. The scriptures meant a lot. I remember when I was going through something in the 90s, I was reading Jeremiah, and I ran across Jeremiah 12:5. If you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? And I just felt like the Holy Spirit just went ding, ding for me with that verse. And so I've had it memorized ever since. Just the Holy Spirit saying, you know, if you think this is a big deal, just wait. Just wait. And it just reminded me, you know, okay, toughen up a little bit. Don't take it so personally. Because usually it's not personal. Usually it's just what you represent. People feel threatened by your leadership, by you, whatever, by you taking away from their big fishiness in that particular pond. Who knows? You remind them of their dad. You remind them of their mom. You remind them of the bully. You remind them of their friend they lost. You remind them of who knows what. So it just takes time to kind of have it be more and more, to self-differentiate yourself more and more. And that's really the key, is to ally yourself with scripture, with the promises of the Lord, spend time in prayer, have some allies who can speak truth to you. That was huge. I've always had a couple good friends real friends in every place I've been. One of my five best friends still was the worship leader in one of our, my first call was eight churches. I was a associate pastor in an eight church parish. So one of the worship leaders, or the keyboardist in one of our churches, is still one of my best friends. And I go hunting, or I have hunted and will again when we can get a North Dakota tag. With another family that were great friends. And so that makes a big difference. But you have to choose wisely, because I have had people stab me in the back and betray. You know, you become their pastor who they disagree with pretty quickly for a lot of people, versus this is my friend. So scripture, a lot of time in the promises of God. Having some key people. Again, I mentioned my mentor. He was very, very helpful for these times, to kind of tell me truth and what's normal, and this is normal. And if you're not getting people who are bothered against you, you're negating Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil. Because I, after consulting now for a time and pastoring 18 churches, with the eight and the six and a couple others, I do believe the devil's best tool is God's people, that he influences them quite well. Just like Peter, you know, was reprimanded for, Peter was called Satan by Jesus, you know, get behind me, Satan. It's obvious that Satan was influencing Peter in some way, right, with Jesus present. So, God's people are really good at messing up the church.
It's so good.
And I suppose me too. So I'm sure I'll look back and say the devil, you know, I'm sure I'll be surprised and annoyed how many times the devil used me for his purposes in my life. So it's never, I think none of us are immune to it.
People tend to people. Yeah. And Eric, I think that's like great stuff. And I've always said, you know, the church can only die from the inside. You know, external factors may speed that up, but the real death comes from the inside. And I think some things you said are really important there, right? When you get feedback from an alligator or not, right? Find the truth that's there. There's gotta be some truth there, but I think more importantly, tell yourself the truth. And sometimes you gotta get other people to tell you the truth. as well. And I think that that is, you know, that's really important. And to know triggers, you know. So I tell people all the time, one of my triggers is being tired. And so yesterday I had one of the most powerful days in worship I've had in a long time, but these little alligator things happened in the afternoon, as they those two things kind of go together, right? And so I knew I was tired, so I had to work extra hard to find extra people, you know, to tell me the truth. And even one of the worst bosses I've ever worked for, you know, one of the few things he told me that was very helpful was, you know, you got to grow some feathers. And that was a huge thing for me, you know, that a lot of times people who are attracted to pastoral ministry are people who care, and that's what makes them good at pastoral ministry. But it also means that the stuff that happens, again, alligators or not, you know, feels super personal. And so thick skin is a great analogy, and feathers is a great analogy, right? So that water, you know, in the pond rolls off your back. And again, you know, there are times where I know all of this, right? But there are times where that's really easy and times where it's not. And I think, you know, knowing that, you know, about yourself, it is a spiritual battle. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, Eric's right, you know, when you have momentum, it's good. But I also think that's when alligators show their teeth the most, because this is a spiritual battle for sure.
Amen.
Oh, your camera switched, but I'll ask one more question for you. And we can do this in reverse. We can turn two. So there it goes. So that's good. Good levity for such a heavy topic. But how do you know when is the time to start attacking or addressing an alligator? Do you wait for the donkey to speak, or do you wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you? What's that indicator for you to say, okay, now I can, work with my coalition of people that we talked about, and we can start addressing these alligators that might be in the room affecting the ministry?
This must be spiritual attack.
Right? That's right. Yeah.
That's right. Never had my iPad do that. That's weird. And then I can't find the center. There we go. There we go. Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. So I think one of the tricks is to figure out, you got to give them time to kind of show themselves. Because you're going to have people who disagree with you, and if you handle it well, if you do the magic
Okay.
phrase, if you do the magic, if you listen to them, if they feel listened to, they're not really an alligator. They're just someone with a concern or a passion or whatever. It's when they keep coming back and they pick out small things. That's a good way to pick out an alligator. Not foolproof by any means, but if they pick out small things, you know, if they're nitpicky, and never quite seem satisfied, because you can active listen to them till you're blue in the face. You know, what I hear you saying. Let me summarize what you said. What do you think? What do others think? Help me understand. Those are my three magic phrases. That it doesn't do any good. So you really have to wait a while before you can kind of figure them out. And this is driving me nuts.
I can rotate it on my end, I think. Let me do it. There we go.
Now you do it. Now you say
I was looking for the setting.
Interns, yeah.
So it takes a while. I wouldn't label somebody an alligator too quickly. Because I had, let me give you an example. So I had, and I'll say his real name, Ron. There you go. Ron was his name. He's long since passed. In one of our six churches, he came out strong against me and against the parish. You know, people who were, you know, people who were used to kind of their church. You know, our church is, you know, a unit by itself. Didn't like being together with five other churches because you lose control. So Ron was just annoyed for, I don't know how many months. He was just annoyed at things, and he'd bring up things and he'd complain. And then I heard John Maxwell, one of his leadership tapes. I used to subscribe to a thing called Enjoy Leadership with him, get a tape every month. That shows how long ago it was. You get a tape every month. And one of them was when he talked about a fellow in his second call who was known to be an alligator, kind of like Sally that I mentioned before. And he actually scheduled an appointment with him towards the beginning. And he said, I've heard, he basically said, I've heard you're an alligator. He said it in different words, but I've heard you're an alligator. And, you know, want you to know, I'm going to grow in influence. And, you know, I basically said, eventually we'll, you know, I'll have more influence than you. And I would, until we get there, I would totally like to be on the same side, is basically what he said.
Wow.
And the guy got up from Maxwell's office. He went over to the drinking fountain and he got up from the fountain and he had tears in his eyes. And he was Maxwell's, one of Maxwell's greatest supporters at that church.
Wow.
So I thought, well, what the heck? Everything to lose. So I went over to Ron's house and I did a visit. And I said that to him in basically, you know, fitting that context. I didn't say I'm going to have more influence than you, but I'd sure like to be on the same side. And Ron, I can tell you're a person of influence. People respect you. I would love to be on the same side as you. And I, you know, when I have some ideas and stuff, I'd love to come over and just kind of run them by you. And he actually got a little teary-eyed and he said, I would love that. I would love that. And Ron defended me at meetings. He was awesome, and he was a key influencer in the whole community. He's very well respected, a very successful farmer, and he defended me at Paris Springs. You know, not that I needed to be defended all the time, but he, that conversation made a huge difference because he was really not an alligator. It was just more of a feeling of you know, we're losing some control here with the six churches, and that just kind of triggered him. Wow. So be careful before you start labeling people an alligator. They're there.
And a lot of times people who are already there that you can trust can be helpful in that. Like, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially in this intentional interim work, if there's other staff, I'll say, you know, I got an email from so-and-so, what can you tell me about them? And, you know, just by their facial expression, right? You know, it's like, well, that was going to happen eventually. And I think that, you know, alligators come up eventually, but again, a lot of times people who, you know, who show their teeth, they may not be alligators. They may not be alligator teeth that you're seeing. And I can think of one church, a lady who, you know, the only pastor to ever survive her in any way, her name was Joyce. The only pastor to ever survive her in any way was the one from her childhood who helped her with her depression. And for 70 years, she would just go through pastors. And it turned out because everyone assumed she was an alligator, nobody ever really heard her. And so I started to hear her and started to talk on her terms. And she threatened to punch me more than once in that church. I mean, she called me a son of a bitch more than once in that church, right? And you know, I was just knew that that was her style and was able to laugh it off and play sarcastically with her. And I'll tell you, you know, not only did I manage her and get her on my side and have her be someone who loved me, in that same church, we experienced a lot of problems with people being nasty to our children. And she was the first to defend them and the first to defend us. And so, yeah, not all teeth are alligator teeth, I think is, you know, part of the moral of the story there too. And so, you know, I think, you know, that the time factor is what's really hard here because it takes time to figure it out. It takes time to build that credibility. It takes time to grow the thick skin or the feathers and to identify those alligators. And meanwhile, you're getting hurt. And so I think that's where really your question is really important, that, you know, self-care is really huge. And obviously throughout this podcast, we'll talk more and more about self-care, but Eric, we really appreciate you talking about this topic. Like, it's just so specific. And obviously you've had a lot of experience with that. And we are thankful for the pastors who are reaching out, asking these kind of questions. And so we thank you so much, you know, today for joining us in the podcast in the midst of technical difficulties and your face being sideways different times. We'll see how that, you know, how that turns out. Some people would argue my face looks better sideways, so you know, who knows. But we really appreciate your time and your ministry. And again, folks, this has been Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. And we thank you for listening. We welcome your topics, your suggestions. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. And this podcast is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we're really trying to help churches and leaders create lasting and transformational health with or without alligators in the swamp. And so you can visit amazed15.org to learn more.